Winds out of the east at 9 miles per hour. Relative humidity, 81%. Lake Michigan water temperature, 67 degrees. At the lakefront, 66. At Midway, also 66. And 66 degrees officially at O'Hare. I'm Steve Ruxton, News Talk 720 WGN.
There she was, just walking down the street singing. She looked good. She looked fine. She looked good. She looked fine. And I nearly lost my mind before I knew.
9:07 on News Talk 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio is here on the Nick DiGilio Show. That's me. I'm not exactly sure how you're going to work out to that song. Andy, how would you work out to that? How would Tony Little work out to that song? Not really sure. Tony Little's Fit Tracks Cardio Rock is what we're listening to tonight with his bad ponytail and his gazelle. So anyway, that's what we're listening to tonight. We have a special guest in the studio tonight, and his name is Hemant. Let me get the last name. Is it Mehta?
Mehta.
Okay, Hemant Mehta. Mm-hmm. And you wrote a book called I Sold My Soul on eBay. Right. Now, it's a catchy title.
Thanks.
But you didn't actually sell your soul on eBay.
No, and it's funny that I put up this auction basically saying I'm an atheist. And, you know, I wasn't raised in Christianity, but I want to explore it. I want to see what Christians have to offer, because yeah. All I have is like a stereotype to work off of. And so this auction I put on eBay said send an atheist to his local church. It didn't even have to be Christian, just something different, yeah. You know? And when the media got a hold of this, first it was kind of used as a metaphor, you know, he's putting his soul on the auction block. And then all of a sudden, you know, you see all these papers. The Chicago Sun-Times said he's selling his soul on eBay. He sold it for $504.
Hemant, I was on the air at that time, yeah. You know, hosting a talk show. And, of course, I see that on the front page, and I go, well, there's a topic.
Yeah.
And I was like, this guy sold his soul on the,
right.
on the
That's
on
exactly
eBay.
What I was wondering, too. I did?
Huh? Yeah.
And, you know, there was, like, an Indian newspaper from across the country that said, Indian sells his soul on eBay. where are they getting this from? But, you know, they took a metaphor and made it literal. And when the publisher said, you know, here's an idea we have for the title of this book.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I didn't sell my soul on eBay. And they're like, we know, but it's catchy.
It's a catchy title.
And if
title.
They flip the book around, they'll see what you really did. Right. And I think it worked out.
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, it's as soon as you see the title, you go, I sold my soul on eBay. You go, what the hell? You kind of turn it over and you read the back. You go, oh, that's what he did. He didn't
right.
actually sell his soul.
Right.
But it's a fascinating read, Hemant.
Thank
it really
you.
Is. Let's get your background real quick.
Sure.
I mean, I'm about 3/4 of the way through your book. And it's a terrific read, and I love the fact. It's also a special treat because you're from around here.
Yeah.
So some of the churches that you describe, I've actually been to a couple of these churches. Mm-hmm. So it's actually kind of fun to have that part of the book. But tell everybody how you were raised and what got you, how you turned into an atheist.
Sure. Well, I was raised in this religion. It's an ancient Indian religion called Jainism. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people haven't heard of it, but actually one of the largest Jain populations outside of India is in Chicago, and in Bartlett, there's a Jain temple. And it's one of the biggest, I think, outside India as well. So I was raised in this faith, and Jainism has a lot of great philosophical ideas, non-violence. So Jains are vegetarian. Non-possessiveness, non-materialism, things like that that I could completely get on board with. But at the same time, Jains also believe in this idea of karma and how it influences you, reincarnation, this idea that we just go through cycles mm-hmm. of lives and things like that, that when I was 14, I started questioning those things for the first time. And I realized there was really no credible reason to believe in that stuff. And the more I questioned it, the more I read about, you know, what do you call these people when they don't believe in these major topics of their religion, mm-hmm. the idea of atheism just kept popping up over and over. And, you know, at some point when I was 14, I just said, well, I guess this is me. I'm an atheist. Mm-hmm. I went to bed one night without saying my prayers, you know, and I'd done that for almost 14 years.
Yeah.
And I woke up and, you know, checked for scars and make sure I was still okay. And I was. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, I was an atheist.
And now, during your childhood when you were growing up in Jainism, did you ask your folks about some of the things that you were confused about? Some of the
yeah.
some like this whole karma thing. You know, you can come if you're really bad in one life, you come back as an ant in the next or something like that.
Right, right.
Which is true. I'm not
no,
mocking it, but that's absolutely
the
true.
Idea. Yeah, I would ask them about it, and they would try to give me answers, and I couldn't even tell you what those answers were, but I do remember they wouldn't satisfy me at the time. And I remember this was the case for a lot of people, a lot of kids my age at the temple. So we would ask the visiting, you know, monks and nuns who came to our temple, those same questions. One example, you know, we believe in nonviolence, and that goes for plants as well. And yet, so, you know, you're not supposed to destroy flowers, things like that. And yet we have these idols of these people, the deities we pray to, and yet we put flower petals on them to adorn them. That seems kind of contradictory. Right. And we would ask them, why do we do that? They would never give us a satisfactory answer to it. And that was just the case across the board. Mm-hmm. I should also mention, a lot of people say Jainism is atheism in a sense, because Jainism doesn't have like a creator God that created all of us. But at the same time, they do have these supernatural beliefs, and that's what I stopped believing
in. Right. You stop believing in all the supernatural things, and you don't believe in a higher power.
Right, right.
And so you lived with that, you know, from the time you were 14. What was that like, teenage years as an atheist? What was that like for you?
Scary at first, because I didn't know anyone who was an atheist. And, you know,
you didn't know anybody who was a Jainist either. I mean, it was
unusual
to be...
Well, outside people at my temple, not where I lived directly. Right. And just to be in that, you know, okay, I just moved. We had just moved to the south suburbs of Chicago at the time. So I didn't really know anyone. Mm-hmm. And now I didn't believe in God. So there were all sorts of things going on where, you know, this is not good.
Puberty and all.
Right, that didn't help either.
Yeah.
And so just going through that, you know, trying to work itself out. And the thing is, atheism made so much sense to me, but it was so hard to find people to talk about it with. But eventually, you know, once I got comfortable with friends that I made at the high school, I was able to talk to them about it. And, you know, they were Christian, they were Hindu, Muslim, all across the board. And we could have discussions about it, and it was fine, and I never felt scared talking about it with them.
Now, in your formative years, you had a major move. Your dad moved you guys from here to Kentucky,
Tennessee,
Knoxville, right?
Right,
and then you loved it down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you moved back up here.
Right, different part of Chicago.
Did that have any effect on your faith?
Yeah, we lived in Tennessee in Knoxville for 2 years. And like you said, I loved it there. And this is right before high school is starting.
Yeah.
So, you know, going from eighth grade to high school, such a big change there. And, you know, I had my group of friends in Tennessee. I was ready to go. I was set. We moved like a week before high school started. So, you know, I walked into high school as a freshman not knowing a single person. And now, you know, that move, you know, this is such a hasty thing for me to say, and honestly, it's a dumb thing for me to say, but I honestly thought, you know, moving and at this point in my life is really the worst thing that could ever happen to anyone ever. And I just thought, if there was a God, why would God do this? And that's what got me questioning for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And admittedly, that's a stupid reason to lose faith in God, because any Christian or any religious person could tell you a number of reasons why God would have done that.
Sure.
But the thing is, it got me questioning. And when I started questioning, forget my original reason, I had all these other reasons to not believe in
so
God.
That was kind of the...
That was a trigger point,
that
really.
That was a trigger point, yeah.
Yeah.
9:14 on News Talk 720 WGN. Hemant Mehta is with us. The book is called I Sold My Soul on eBay. He didn't really, but that's the title of the book. So when you decided to do this, you were how old when you decided to do the eBay auction?
Just ending being 22 when the auction went up.
Okay. So you spent 8 years being an atheist.
Yeah. And
in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you took all that in. And then what did you do? You became a part of secular...
Student. Right. Well, for a couple years since I was in college, I started working with this group called the Secular Student Alliance,
mm-hmm.
and that's secularstudents.org. And the way I like to think of it, it's kind of like a campus crusade for Christ, but for atheists and agnostics, you know?
Yeah.
Started working with them, and I'm currently the chair of the board of directors of that group.
Mm-hmm.
And I also started working with a lobbying organization called the Secular Coalition for America. So there was a news story a few months ago about Congressman Pete Stark from California. He came out in public as the first openly non-religious congressman in history, which was huge. That was thanks to the Secular Coalition. And, you know, I've been working with these groups for a number of years. I met a lot of atheists through these groups, and just about all of them, they are not second-generation atheists. They, you know, were raised in a religious family. They know what they were leaving, and then they became atheists.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and I never had that experience. And, you know, I'm sure
curious, do some of these atheists that are in these groups, do they have children?
Yes.
How are they raising them?
That's a good question. You know, they raised them without the religious upbringing, but, you know, with the ceremonies, with the, you know, they might celebrate Christmas, but not necessarily to celebrate Jesus' birth or something like that. And in fact, you know, there's a lot of literature that's now being put out there about how to raise children as a non-religious parent. Mm-hmm.
And I want to make this clear that, I mean, obviously your website says everything.
Yeah, friendlyatheist.com has the whole background.
But the name of the website, yeah. I think, says a lot. Because you are not critical of people who believe in Christ. You are not critical of Christians.
When I have to be, but I'm not ripping on them just because they're Christian.
Right, I understand. That's what I'm saying. Right. I'm saying you're not, like, if you could be friends with a Christian.
I should say that name, friendlyatheist.com, I didn't pick that name because I'm the exception to the rule. And a lot of people think that is the case. It's like they see all these angry atheists out there, I must be the friendly atheist. Mm-hmm. That's not the case. That name was chosen because, you know, working with atheists for the past 5 years pretty closely, they're all friendly to me. I mean, it's very rare that I meet a really angry, militant type of atheist.
You shouldn't be going to church. It's a waste of time, stuff like that.
You really don't meet people like that. Most of the atheists I know just wish we had more visibility and respectability among people.
Well, I mean, I think that's really interesting, and I think it's fair that you guys should be, because seriously, when I think atheist, I do think people who are and it's a cliche, but I do think people who are immediately going to mock somebody for going to church, or because they're Christians, you're wasting your time,
horns growing out of the heads and the eating of the babies, you know.
Well, I don't really think that, but
you know, those horrible stereotypes are out there, I hope the website and the book and, you know, just other atheists that are in the public now can do their best to counter those stereotypes.
9:17 on News Talk 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you about how the eBay auction started.
Sure.
And who bought it and who bought your soul. And we are actually going to talk to that guy. Jim Henderson is going to join us after the 9:30 news. We'll talk to him about the experience as well. And the thing that I really want to ask you afterwards is, what if Jim didn't?
Yeah.
What if he wasn't the one who actually bought the, who won the bidding? And it was some other jerk.
I know who took second.
Oh, so, you do? Okay, excellent. All right, that's good. That was one of my major questions. Yeah. All right. Hemet Mehta's with us. The book is called I Sold My Soul on eBay. We'll take a quick break when we come back. If you guys have phone calls, it's 591-7200 with questions or comments. We'll be right back.
The voice of Chicago.
News Talk 720. WGN.
Not getting that cheese by me, mate.
This is a simple game.
Stay tuned to Weird.
Wake up with Spike Tuesday morning.
So, let's play two.
And you and a friend would be off to Clark and Addison to see the Cubs play the Brewers.
From who else?
The Illinois Lottery. And the voice of the Cubs.
News Talk 720. WGN.
You can help deliver the magic of Wrigley Field to the young Cubs fan in your life thanks to your friends at Walgreens. Just enter the Walgreens Celebrity Bat Kid Sweepstakes now. Each winner receives 4 Cubs tickets, a jersey, ball cap, the chance to watch batting practice from the Cubs dugout, and more. Write the name, age, gender, address, and phone number of your young Cubs fan on a postcard or plain piece of paper with parent or guardian signature, then send it to Walgreens Bat Kids. Care of WGN Radio, 435 North Michigan Avenue, Chicago, 60611. Entries must be received by August 27th, 2007, and may not be mechanically reproduced. No purchase necessary. 94 Bat Kids, one boy and one girl, age 8 to 16, will be chosen randomly in drawings held before 47 Cubs home games, June 1st through August 31st. Employees of Walgreens, their sponsors and vendors, Tribune Company and their affiliates, and residents of Rhode Island, New York, and Florida are not eligible to win. Complete details at WGNradio.com. Walgreens, the pharmacy of the Chicago Cubs.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looked great.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, 10 years at least?
I look at her and it's like I'm looking at a picture of my wife from 20 years ago. It's incredible.
How are ordinary women across America looking years younger? They've discovered the clinically proven breakthrough called Hydroxytone. It erases wrinkles, tightens skin, and makes frown lines disappear from view. See for yourself by requesting a free trial of Hydroxytone today. The results are so impressive. Hydroxytone was given away in the VIP gift bags at this year's Sundance Film Festival. And now you can experience them for yourself. Try Hydroxytone risk-free and shed years from your appearance faster than you thought possible.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Turn back the clock with the free trial of Hydroxytone. For your free trial, call 1-800-600-6546. That's 1-800-600-6546. 1-800-600-6546.
6. Introducing Macy's Summer Star Sale, where you'll find the brands you know and love at half-off original prices. Now's your chance to get 50% off selected sandals and shoes. Save 50% on this season's essentials, like name-brand dresses, tees, and shorts for her. Even the hottest swimwear is half off. Plus, kids' playwear is 50% off. Men's shorts, tees, and polos are half-priced, too. Hurry into Macy's for great savings on famous brands. Macy's Summer Star Sale, going on now.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
Time to myself. My new luxurious Whirlpool tub, surrounded by my beautiful new custom cabinets. Oh, there's no other place I...
Mommy!
And we're back.
Create the bath of your dreams at the Summer Bath Event. Check out beautiful custom cabinetry from Master Bath. Plus, save 10% on all in-stock American Standard Lifetime Whirlpool tubs. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through July 4th in U.S. only. See store for details.
If you have a parent who's living alone, how many times do you call just to make sure they're all right? Well, now with just one phone call to LifePhone, you can always know they're being protected 24 hours a day with a personal emergency care specialist. For free information about LifePhone, just call 1-800-400-3202. For over 30 years, LifePhone has been the leading emergency response service. With LifePhone, your loved one wears a waterproof pendant, and with just the press of a button, they're immediately connected to an emergency care specialist who will get the help they need, paramedics, fire department, police, even a family member or neighbor, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if you have a loved one who's living alone, make the one call that will give you both peace of mind around the clock. Call now for your free information about LifePhone, 1-800-400-3202. That's 1-800-400-3202. 1-800-400-3202.
9:23 on News Talk 720 WGN. It's Nick DiGilio here. And Hemant Mehta is with us. He is the author of a book called I Sold My Soul on eBay. We're a little distracted right now because right above the river on Michigan Avenue, they're doing a fireworks display. And I immediately told Hemant that that was God. It's like as soon as we went to commercial, the fireworks started. I said, dude, God came to get you. He knows you're here.
I'll walk out of here slowly.
Hemant is an atheist and has been since he was 14. And you were really curious about why people had faith and why they were Christians and why they studied any kind of religion. And you decided that you would do something that involved eBay. And so explain everybody about your eBay auction, then we'll get into that, of what the meat of the book is really about, which is your visits to church services, right? and your observations, not just as an atheist, but just as an observer,
sure.
A person. So let's hear about it.
Well, like I said, I'd never really been to any Christian church or Muslim mosque or a synagogue or anything like that. I'd just been raised in this Jain religion, and I went to the Jain temple, but that's about it. I wanted to explore Christianity because, one, that's the most popular religion in this country.
Yep.
And because, you know, most of the atheists I know, that's the religion they were brought up in, and that's what they left when they became atheists. So I wanted to explore Christianity, but, you know, I wasn't limited to that. I would go to anywhere, really. And I figured, you know, I don't just want to go. I could just do that. But I want to ask people questions. I want to question why people believe what they do, why they do what they do in these churches. And I figured, you know, maybe I could create a website for that or something, but how do people find out about the website? And then I thought of, like, that grilled cheese sandwich with the Virgin Mary on it, and I'm like, that's kind of religious, and that got some attention.
That's kind of religious.
Sure. And so, you know, I put up this auction on eBay that basically said, send an atheist to his local church that said, you know, I'll go just about anywhere. I really am an atheist. I really work with atheist groups, trying to sell myself that, you know, I'm not kidding about this.
Right. And you said you would be respectful.
Yeah.
You would, you know.
I'm not trying to be a jerk when I go
right.
to these churches. I just want to go there and ask these questions. I should also point out that, you know, I had to put something about money on there because it's eBay. So I said for every $10, I'll go for an hour or like one visit to church. But all that money that I was going to make, regardless of what it was, that was going to be donated.
Okay.
And I actually donated it to the group I work with, the Secular Student Alliance. Mm-hmm. And what happened is, you know, as people started finding out about this auction through blogs, I was on Kirk Cameron's radio show.
Which is described in hilarious detail in the book.
Yeah.
They kind of went off on you.
He did. Kirk Cameron's dissing me on public on satellite radio, which, honestly, that's probably the greatest thing to ever happen to anyone.
What was his name? Seaver?
Mike Seaver.
Mike Seaver.
Growing Pains. Yeah,
Mike Seaver.
But yeah, people started finding out about this auction, and you had Christians bidding that I go to their church. You had atheists bidding that I don't go to church, and they just kind of set each other off.
Now, the guy who actually won the bidding war was a man named Jim Henderson.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about him. We're going to talk to him after 9:30.
Jim is a former pastor from Seattle, Washington. He runs a group called Off the Map, which if you Google it, you could find that organization too. And basically his job for the past few years, his passion has been for Christians. And I hope I'm not saying anything bad. He's saying he wants to make Christians normal, mm-hmm. you know, and that's kind of his unofficial slogan on his website, helping Christians be normal.
And he is a Christian himself.
He is a Christian, right. And he basically wants churches to see themselves the way unchurched people see the churches, because he thinks if that's the people you want to reach out to and evangelize to, you got to understand what they're seeing, because mm-hmm. churches have a very skewed perspective.
And churches, you mean physically going to a church?
Yes.
Not the entire church. As an entity,
right.
You're saying going to a mass or going to a service and experiencing that, how that's coming off to a person maybe who doesn't have faith or doesn't,
right. Yeah. And he would pay people, I think, $25 a pop to go to churches and give him a critique of what they saw, what they thought of, what their impressions were, and Jim would use this information, take it back to the church, and say, you know, here's what you're doing wrong. Here's why you're not connecting with these people. Mm-hmm. And so this was right up his alley when he heard about this auction.
The same thing you were doing, basically.
Essentially, yeah. And so he won the auction at $504. And
you expected it to go for 10 bucks.
I did. 10 bucks was more than I expected. So, man, here goes my year, right?
Yeah.
Every week. But Jim said, you know, you owe me 50 churches, but, you know, I'm a former pastor. I don't want to go to church for 50 weeks. So why don't we do this instead? Why don't you go to 10, 15 churches around Chicago, where you're from, and write about them on my ministry's website instead of creating one on my own?
Yeah.
That's what we ended up doing. So I went to churches all around Chicago and wrote about them on Jim's sites.
And you also went to churches in Colorado.
Well, after I finished all the churches for Jim and did all that, what I owed him for eBay.
What do you owe? Your payoff, your eBay payoff.
Right.
Okay.
Then I had a chance to write this book. I sold my soul on eBay.
Oh, so you added.
So I went to a whole nother slew of churches,
and this
time around the country.
Oh, okay. Excellent. And that's what's in the book. That's the stuff that's in the book. Is your experience as an atheist, as a person without faith, just going in and observing.
Right. And these are
taking notes.
Yeah.
And watching what was happening in certain masses. Right. Fascinating stuff. I got to tell you, some people who listen have probably, I've been to a few of these.
Yeah. There's a bunch from Chicago in the book as well.
Yeah. And you describe some of these, like the LaSalle Street Church in Chicago.
Right.
You went to a service there.
Right. Willow Creek was a mega church in Barrington. That's a big
Evangelical
one.
Free Church in DeKalb. You went to a couple of places in DeKalb.
Right.
The Westminster Presbyterian Church in DeKalb.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk in detail about what it was like to go there, how you were feeling, what questions you had during the service.
Right.
Just honest, non-biased questions.
Right.
And you know, it's really fascinating to read. You really did make it as non-judgmental as you possibly could in what you wrote, your critique of the church.
Well, and I don't think, and it's not even just that was the point of me trying to be judgmental. I think just when I meet Christians, I mean, the first thought that goes through my head is not, oh, that person's religious, must mm-hmm. be an idiot.
Yeah.
That's not what goes through my head. And, you know, I wrote the book just as I might say it to someone out loud.
Right.
So I tried to do that. But yeah, I mean, just going to these churches, not just the ones in Chicago, but major ones, Ted Haggard's church in Colorado before his whole scandal happened, mm-hmm. Joel Osteen's church in Texas, mm-hmm. And a lot of really small churches. There was a house church that I went to originally for Jim's write-ups and stuff. But yeah, it was an amazing experience.
Yeah. It really, and it's all documented in the book. I sold my soul on eBay. You guys have questions or anything like that about some of the church services that Hemant went to? We'll take some phone calls if you need to. 591-7200 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. 312 is the area code. Friendlyatheist.com is Hemant's website if you'd like to check it out. And more with him after you take a break here. You're listening to the Voice of Chicago News Talk 720 WGN. It's 9:30. It's time for a news update.
Good evening. I'm Roger Badish. Less than 2 hours before a memorial service for his wife and three kids began, a suburban Chicago man was arrested in connection with their deaths. Authorities say Christopher Vaughn killed his family. The Reverend Jesse Jackson was arrested today at a demonstration outside a suburban Chicago gun shop. Jackson and other community activists say the gun shop's proximity to Chicago provides gang members and criminals easy access to firearms. And the body of a missing Canton, Ohio pregnant woman has been found in Summit County, Ohio. Police have arrested the boyfriend of Jesse Davis and charged him with her murder and the murder of her unborn child. Bobby Cutts Jr. is in the Stark County Jail and will be arraigned on Monday. The Cubs beat the Sox 2-1. Game 3 of the Crosstown Classic Part 2 is Sunday. Game time Sunday is at 1:05. Now traffic in WGN Traffic Central. Here's Kevin Scott.
Thank you, Roger. No problems to report on the Edens, Kennedy, Eisenhower, or Stevenson. Still pretty slow on the outbound Dan Ryan. Tri-State Tollway southbound road work, 31st to Ogden in the left lane until 10. Then it switches to the two left lanes until 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. East-West Tollway eastbound between Roosevelt and the Eisenhower. Road construction in the right lane till 10. Then it switches over to the left lane till 5 o'clock. And on 8094 eastbound between Burnham and Calumet Avenue, road work in the left lane until 11 o'clock. Kevin Scott, WGN Traffic Central.
And checking the WGN forecast, here's Danielle Banks from the Weather Channel.
Still some lingering showers tonight, otherwise gradually clearing away from the cloud cover. Lows in the low to mid 60s, partly cloudy and warming up Sunday. Highs upper 70s to low 80s. I'm Danielle Banks on the Weather Voice of Chicago, News Talk 720 WGN.
Current temperatures right now, the lakefront 65 degrees, the same 65 at Midway, and officially at O'Hare under cloudy skies, 67 degrees. I'm Roger Badish, News Talk 720 WGN.
If you're sick and tired of watching your hair get thinner and thinner, we're about to challenge everything you think you know about hair loss and hair restoration, because we're going to send you a free report and DVD that separates fact from fiction, so you'll learn the difference between bogus hair growth products and a proven medical solution. The world's only permanent solution, one that's affordable on nearly every budget, is used by hundreds of celebrities and professional athletes, and has been featured in Newsweek, The Wall Street Journal, and The New York Times. When it comes to hair loss, you're going to be blown away by what you learn. And you'll never look at hair loss or hair restoration the same way again. Call now for your free report and DVD. 1-800-500-5590. Come on, we dare you to call for the free report and DVD. Call Bosley today at 1-800-500-5590. It's time you rethink hair loss. For your free report and DVD, call 1-800-500-5590. 1-800-500-5590.
Hey, you looking for a great night out? See Chicago's entertainer Ron Hocking in his new show, The Men and Their Music, now playing Thursdays through Sundays at Chicago's Mercury Theater. Ron Hocking, star of one of Chicago's longest-running musicals, His Way, returns to the Mercury Theater with a sizzling new show that celebrates the music of Bobby Darin, Ray Charles, Billy Joel, Frankie Valli, and much, much more. You can get your tickets now by calling the Mercury Theater box office at 773-325-1700 or go to Ticketmaster.com. Don't miss Chicago's entertainer Ron Hocking as he celebrates The Men and Their Music Thursdays through Sundays for 4 weeks only at the elegant Mercury Theater in Wrigleyville. With beverage service, excellent restaurants, and valet parking, it's the perfect night out. Call the Mercury Theater box office at 773-325-1700 or go to Ticketmaster.com. That's 773-325-1700 or Ticketmaster.com for Ron Hocking and his new show, The Men and Their Music.
When you take your pet to the veterinarian for a wellness exam, you may be asked questions like, how often does your cat go outside? Does your dog ever drink from puddles? And do you travel with your pet? These clinic staff members aren't being nosy. They're simply performing a risk assessment, an important procedure to determine which diseases pose the biggest threats to your pet and the best ways to prevent them. The American Veterinary Medical Association, Fort Dodge Animal Health, and your local veterinarian want to remind you it's important to answer veterinary staff questions about your pet as thoroughly as possible. And remember, the best way to keep your dog or cat healthy is with twice-a-year wellness exams from your veterinarian. Twice-yearly exams can help detect, treat, and ideally prevent many health problems before they become serious. If you have questions of your own about pet wellness, visit the National Pet Wellness Month website at nationalpetwellnessmonth.com.
The cost of internet crime in human and economic terms is serious, and it's growing. Internet crimes, including credit card fraud and victimization of innocent citizens, have become commonplace. Because of the Illinois State Police Internet Crime Unit, e-criminals will no longer be able to victimize Illinois citizens without consequence. If you've been a victim of internet crime, link to us online from any state webpage or call the Illinois State Police Internet Crimes Unit at 1-888-702-7463. Sponsored by the Illinois State Police and aired in cooperation with the Illinois Broadcasters Association and this station.
You wouldn't let someone reach in your purse and steal your wallet, so why wouldn't you register your business name and your products and services before someone steals them? Quickly obtain federal trademark protection for up to 85% less than going to an attorney at LegalZoom.com. Protect your company name, products, and services. LegalZoom.com lets you handle common legal matters without a lawyer. Just answer a questionnaire online, and LegalZoom.com makes sure the documents are filled out correctly and, depending on the document, filed with the appropriate state agencies. LegalZoom.com is not a law firm, but was founded by top attorneys, so you know your document is reliable. Get a discount off any service by typing Windy in the referral box at checkout. Register a trademark, incorporate your business, form an LLC, even create your will. For common legal documents without attorney's fees, go to LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Yeah, the songs are kind of connected here, so they're segueing one into the other on the Tony Little disc. 9:37 on News Talk 720 WGN. Nick DeGilio here on the Nick DeGilio Show for a Saturday night, and we are joined by Hemant Mehta, who has written a book called "I Sold My Soul" on eBay. He is an atheist who put up an auction on eBay to go to churches. And Jim Henderson, who we're trying to get a hold of, hopefully he'll be joining us before the end of the interview, he ended up buying it, and and you ended up going to a bunch of churches right here in Chicago. What were some of the things that you were curious about?
Well,
when you went to some of these services,
curious if you hear these horrible things that some of the churches do in terms of the conservative ideology they speak about. So I wanted to know, is that really the case at all these churches? Do they all say, vote Republican and, gay people, that's a choice they make, or something like that? Mm-hmm. And it turned out some of them actually did do that, but a lot of them didn't. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, to me, that it was surprising, they were actually completely the opposite, mm-hmm, in terms of that ideology. I wanted to know, do they ever ask the same questions I ask? I'm always looking for evidence. I always want to know, why do you believe what you believe? But do they ask the same questions? And do the answers they get from their pastors, are those answers satisfactory?
Did you come across that? Do a lot of Christians ask the same questions that atheists ask?
Sometimes. But the answers were never satisfactory for me. Mm-hmm. There were a couple sermons I went to during the course of writing the book where the topic of the day was, what do you say to an atheist? Or, what proof do we have that there is a God? And so I thought, hey, here's exactly what I'm looking for. And then the answers they gave were just anecdotes of people who, were sick, they prayed, they got better. Hey, that's proof.
Yeah.
No, that's not proof. And they were giving that type of evidence. And so it didn't cut it for me. And I was kind of surprised that other people listening to the same sermon were just kind of nodding their heads, smiling, like, this is the most clear thing, best evidence they've ever heard.
How much now in let's say you go to a service, you did end up talking to pastors or priests afterwards, and what were those discussions like?
Well, first of all, I should say, for all the outreach that churches think they do, making people feel welcome at home, there were greeters at most of the doors. When I walked in the church, people shook my hand, said hello. Not a single person at any of the churches, whether I visited for gym or writing the book, no one ever came up to me when I was sitting down to just start up a conversation. Mm-hmm. And especially at the small churches where I figure everyone and here's a stranger walking in. No one ever spoke to me, which I thought was interesting. But when I did get a chance to talk to people, they were amazingly nice. They were willing to answer anything I asked them. Mm-hmm. most of the congregation people, not the pastors, but if I asked them a question they didn't know the answer to, they were just very honest about it. You know, I'm not sure why I believe that, or I'm not sure the answer to that, but it's something I want to learn. Mm-hmm. When I spoke to the pastors, this is an interesting story. I went to one church for Jim. It's Parkview Christian Church in Orland Park.
And this is Jim Henderson.
Jim Henderson, who bought my soul, supposedly.
Right, right.
I went to their church. There were some things I liked about it.
I'm sorry, again, it was Orland Park?
What? Yeah, in Orland Park, Parkview Christian Church. There were some things I liked about it, some things I didn't, and I wrote about this on Jim's site. Well, the pastor saw what I wrote, and this happened more than once. The pastor saw what I wrote, and this one in particular said, I like the objectivity. I like what you're writing because I think it's important for us to hear it. So he actually invited me back the following summer, and this was last summer, and he said, why don't we just do a sermon? And he has three sermons over the course of a weekend because that's how big the church is, and it was just a whole sermon on doubt. And the way he did it was just me and him on stage, an atheist and a pastor, back and forth, just impromptu, ask each other questions, the deepest questions you have about the other person's point of view.
Yeah.
And we'll just go back and forth live. His congregation could email him questions beforehand. But their job was just to listen to this dialogue happen and understand that, you know what, atheists are not evil. We're not mean-spirited or anything like that. And in fact, you could have a discussion like this and come away, shake each other's hands, still have respect for the other person. Mm-hmm. And I write about that experience in the book too. But yeah, it was really amazing going to some churches and being able to talk to a pastor like that, where he's putting himself on the spot. I mean, think about, you know, here's if people come to church on a Sunday. They don't really want to hear an atheist talk.
Sure. Well, I think that speaks volumes about the. I think that speaks volumes about the strength of his faith.
Absolutely,
you know
and
what I mean?
It speaks. Yeah, and just the congregation willing to listen to it. And afterwards, they said to that pastor, "That was one of the best sermons we've had a chance to listen to. It got us thinking."
Now, all of these visits that you did, the visits that you did for Jim Henderson that you documented online as part of your eBay, as part of the bet you lost,
right.
and all of the ones that you subsequently went to finish up the book, they were unannounced.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't know you were coming.
They had no idea I was coming.
So it wasn't, you were just like a regular person walking in the street. It wasn't like, oh, that atheist who's writing a book is showing up today, right?
They didn't know that.
And you were coming to see... With one exception?
With one exception, which was a house church in a pastor's living room. We thought that might be a little weird.
Yeah,
so
sure.
So we let him know. But yeah, all these churches had no idea I was coming.
And just that one time that you went back to Orland Park and did that, the one that you just mentioned, was the only time that they knew you were coming.
Absolutely.
So this, you wanted to come in and observe naturally what a typical service was at these churches.
Yeah, and I didn't want them to change anything or act differently because, you know, someone was going to document it.
Right. Now, all right. What were some of the similarities that you found? In reading some of this, fascinating thing. When you went to DeKalb that one day and you took in three services in one morning on a Sunday morning. And you, but the fascinating thing is, you talked to, I believe it was the second pastor.
Yeah.
With the female pastor, and you and because you would the
third pastor was a female pastor.
Okay, the third pastor, and you said, you know, these quotes that you used out of the Bible. I heard that earlier this morning at a different church.
Yeah.
And she explained something to you that I had no idea.
I didn't either. Yeah, it was weird. I heard the same biblical verses read by the pastor. I even heard the same songs sung by the people in the church.
On the same morning.
On the same morning.
In different parts of DeKalb.
Yeah. Different churches, all
different
denominations.
Denominations, yeah.
Yeah, and so I asked this pastor, you know, what's up with that? Was that just a coincidence? Did I come on the right day or something? And she said there was actually a booklet. I can't even remember the name of what they called it now, but there was a site, a group that says, you know, you're going to read through these sermons on these days. And a lot of churches follow this type of liturgy. And I even asked her, you know, do you cover – I know a lot of atheists, when they want to attack the Bible, they use passages from Leviticus, which are just really horrible, horrible passages. And I asked her, you know, is this so you could cover the whole Bible without, you know, skipping anything? And do you cover passages like that? No, we don't. they skip a lot of the books. But she said
– So here's what it says in your book. I just found the page.
Okay.
It turns out that I spoke to Pastor Marilyn after my visit, and she told me that her church uses the Revised Common Lectionary.
Yes, a lectionary.
A collection of Bible verses to be read on certain weeks. These verses are used in a three-year cycle.
Yeah.
I asked Pastor Marilyn if the three-year cycle was still in place so the verses in the Bible could be read over the same period of time. She said no.
Right.
If certain books of the Bibles were used, because the Gospels and the Psalms were well represented. Of course, you ask about Leviticus.
Right, right.
And so, and it's just I had no idea that there was a little booklet that went around.
I know
to churches that said, here, use these these quotes for 3 years,
which seems kind of, you know, disingenuous, not as heartfelt as I would have hoped. You know, you figure they want to pick verses that, you know, really connect with them or something. But no, it's kind of like a textbook. You're going to do this on this day. Ironically, when I asked her, you know, is the song selection the same way?
Yeah.
That really was a coincidence.
It was a coincidence because those songs are just popular.
Yeah.
People like them. Well, I found that really fascinating. A lot of things fascinating about your visits to these churches. But that was one I had no idea. And I also, by the way, just so you know, I was growing up, you know, Italian, Irish, not Catholic, which I know is a strange, weird thing. But I did. I've attended a lot of churches, a lot of church ceremonies, and I went to a Lutheran high school.
Oh yeah.
And in fact, Bible lessons are simply just quotes.
Oh yeah.
Because you say in the book,
I'm not surprised.
You say in the book that it's like today's lesson is,
yeah.
And then they read something from, you know, 1 Corinthians. And then they sit down.
And then move on.
Right. And you were writing, you know, honestly enough, you're writing, there's no lesson. He just read something from the Bible.
Right.
But they call those lessons for some reason. They have for years.
And, and I don't know what the congregation gets out of it. And surprisingly, I don't know why they don't question it. Like, what are we supposed to take out of this?
Right.
I mean, you could have read this back at home. Why did you come here?
Right.
You know,
I
figure if there was a lesson, at least that's an incentive to come. But yeah, there was nothing at a lot of these places.
There's a lot more to talk about, and I think we're getting Jim Henderson. I believe he's going to join us. He's the guy who bought your soul. We're going to talk more with Hemant Mehta, and it, regardless of whether you're an atheist, an agnostic, or a Christian, or you follow any sort of religion, this is a really interesting and a really good read. And we'll take a quick break and come back right after this.
Stay tuned for another 720 series.
Kids are not as safe as they may have been in the past.
It's all about background checks that affect our children.
We need to be as careful and as cautious as we can be.
Most people may not realize that in the state of Illinois,
there are no background check requirements for ice cream truck drivers, carnival workers, many lifeguards.
It's all got to be safety for our children.
This is Andrea Darlis. Join me for the 720 News series, Childproof.
Beginning Wednesday morning on the Spike Hotel Radio Show.
On News Talk 720 WGN.
We join our junior FSI Farm Scene Investigation Team at a local service station in hot pursuit of the truth behind homegrown biofuels.
What's the latest, Inspector?
Lieutenant, we've got to find out about biofuels. What do the witnesses know? What do they have to say?
The witnesses don't know anything. They've not even heard of biofuels. They just keep spending all their money on foreign oil.
Back at the FSI lab, the investigative team has learned some important facts about biofuels.
The FSI lab technicians report that biofuels, like ethanol and soy diesel, are fuels for our cars and trucks made from corn and soybeans, and American farmers grow them in abundance.
Inspector, the evidence is clear. Biofuels are good for the environment and clearly make us less dependent on foreign sources of oil.
Once again, we've solved a mystery. Biofuels, they're fuels for our generation.
Good work, team.
This FSI adventure has been brought to you by your County Farm Bureau.
Hi, I'm Smokey, and this is my new friend, Ernie.
Hi.
Ernie wants to be a biker.
Sure do.
Okay, just calm down, Ernie. First, you need a bike. Then you need Geico Motorcycle Insurance. They cover most kinds of bikes and have money-saving discounts. And finally, you'll need a nickname. Something that suits you, like, I don't know, Fuzzy Bunny.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Too late. It's already stuck, Fuzzy.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Why drive from auto dealer to auto dealer searching for the perfect new or used car or truck? Now there's a better way. The WGN Radio Vehicle Village, where you can search virtually every dealer in Chicagoland, from the city to the suburbs, even northwest Indiana. Choose from thousands of cars, trucks, or SUVs by make, model, year, and price. Go to WGNradio.com and click on the WGN Radio Vehicle Village icon. It's easy and fun. The WGN Radio Vehicle Village from News Talk 720 WGN.
Heart Check America, the most experienced provider of heart scans and peace of mind. Call 1-800-NEW-TEST, 1-800-NEW-TEST.
Hi, I'm Doug Matthew of Great American Products, makers of Master Omega-3 Fish Oil. We're doing something unprecedented in our history. We've just authorized a giveaway of up to $1 million of our Master Omega-3 fish oil. That's right. We're giving away up to $1 million worth of Master Omega-3. To find out how to get your share of the giveaway, call now for details. 1-800-600-1196. Experience free all the benefits Master Omega-3 can have for your heart, your skin and joints, even your focus and concentration. It's extra purified and double concentrated, and it's the only omega-3 your body doesn't have to break down to absorb. It's so unique it was awarded a U.S. patent. I know you'll see the difference our Master Omega-3 can make. That's why we're giving away up to $1 million worth. To find out how to claim your free bottle, call now. 1-800-600-1196. That's 1-800-600-1196. 1-800-600-1196.
The deception with time. 9:50 on Newstalk 720 WGN. Tony Little likes to work out to the fix. Nick DiGilio here on a Saturday night, and I am joined by Hemant Mehta, who has written a really interesting book called I Sold My Soul on eBay. I got to say, some of the things that you bring up when you visited these churches, and what happened was, Hemant, in case you just turned in, he's an atheist who did this project that started out as an eBay auction and then ended up as a book, where as an atheist or as someone who just wanted to observe, to go to different denominations and different churches just to experience the masses, the services, and what it was like, wrote down questions. Were you ever moved by something? Did you ever find some of the ceremonies or some of the masses to be beautiful? Or yeah.
I mean, not only are the buildings beautiful, but hearing some of the pastors tell their stories of how God has worked in their life, I mean, it's really touching. And even though I think they're using the wrong reason for trying to explain what's going on in their lives, it doesn't mean the story is any less moving to me. So yeah, and a lot of times it was just really compelling to listen to them. Mm-hmm. I remember one church I visited, the first one I visited after Jim won the auction, I visited this Catholic church, Old St. Pat's downtown. And this pastor gave this amazing speech about how to overcome obstacles. And he talked about when he was younger, he was a cigarette smoker. And one day, he wanted to stop, and he decided to have faith in God and quit cold turkey. And he did. And it was really powerful. And then all of a sudden, he went back into like the whole scripted, let's do communion, let's do this. And yeah, you lost me.
Now, you talk about the difference between pastors or priests grabbing you during their sermon and how important that is. I mean, I've been to some churches where, the guy will drone on and on.
It's very Simpsons-esque, you know?
Yeah. Yes. By the way, do you remember the episode where Bart sells his soul to...
I've had references. They're like, Bart got $5.
Milhouse had his soul.
Right.
Anyway, but I do love the fact that a lot of these, that you visited a lot of these churches where the pastors or the presiders were mixing it up, like going out and talking in the middle of the congregation.
That was
like
really cool. I mean, one pastor, got up off stage, walked right into the audience to really connect with them. And what were the audience members doing? They were watching the big screen TVs in the front. The pastor's right next to them.
Yeah.
But apparently they feel more affinity to the TV.
Right. It's all those concerts people go to.
Yeah, I guess
so. Look at the screen. But I have to say this. I as I mentioned before, I was not grown up Catholic, but I've been to many Catholic masses, whether it be just going to a mass or weddings or funerals or things like that. And not being familiar with Catholicism and the things that you do, I find it really fascinating, the rituals. I mean, did it fascinate you at all? Like, we're going to get up, we're going to kneel here, we're going to do this here, we're going to repeat this and say this. Every time I go to a Catholic mass, I'm just fascinated by the ritualistic element of it.
Yeah, and it's not, and a lot of the Christian churches I went to too, they had not nearly as scripted, but
the
hands raising when the song's up, stuff like that. I mean, but the thing I wonder, it's interesting and it's fascinating, and I wonder, one, why do they still do that? Because I don't think the people doing it always know why they're doing it.
I'm sure.
And the other thing is, how did this get started? How do people start thinking, I have to do it this way in order for God to hear it?
Right.
And, when I went to one Catholic church, they were doing it like a beat before the pastor, gave the words. It's kind of like, we know the motions. We're just going through them. It's not heartfelt.
And now let me ask you this, though. But then you're not just attacking. You weren't attacking the Catholics or the Christians for this, because you were very critical of Jainism in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Because it your own religion that you grew up on, but you eventually became an atheist. But you grew up on Jainism. Now they did several ritualistic things too, like kneeling on a certain
knee in order when you you say this prayer, saying a certain prayer 108 times because that number has some significance. You know, things like that, that no one's going to give you a straight explanation on it, because personally, I don't believe there is a good explanation for it.
Yeah.
But people do it. Every time, I remember when I went to the temple, we had people telling us you're supposed to say a certain word three times when you enter the temple. Which, again, it's like they just made this stuff up at some point.
Yeah, it really is
odd.
It is odd. Well, you know, if it gets people through the night, you know what I mean? That's the thing.
And I understand that. It gives people hope. It gives them a reason. But again, there are so many good reasons that you could have without the use of God. And a lot of people are afraid to go to those ideas. And I think one of the interesting things about all the atheist books that are out now is it makes people think, and it gets people understanding that, you know what, when someone dies, you don't need to resort to God to get you through it. There are perfectly non-religious ways to get through those tough times. There are ways to deal with that.
By the way, Jim, we weren't able to get a hold of Jim, unfortunately. He's out doing something with your soul. He's doing something evil with your soul.
I need to get that thing back at some point.
You gotta get it back, man. It was just temporary. Didn't he read the fine print on the auction site? Really quickly, for people that might not know the strictest definition, what's the difference between an agnostic and an atheist?
Sure. Well, an atheist is someone who believes there is no God. And to clarify one thing, it's not saying there is no God. It's saying I don't believe there is one. An agnostic is someone who just says, you know, there's really no evidence one way or the other, so I'm not going to take a stance on it. Mm-hmm. My problem with being agnostic is, the classic example is you could say there's a teapot orbiting around the Earth. Is there evidence to say it's not there? Not really. Do we say we're agnostic about it? No. We just say, no, I'm an atheist in regards to the flying teapot.
Right.
There's a famous internet meme, the flying spaghetti monster,
right?
You know, that says the flying spaghetti monster created us all with its noodly appendage. Do we say there's no evidence to disprove it?
Right.
Do we say we're agnostic about it? No, we say we're atheist in regards to that. And, you know, that's how I feel.
And
atheists just go one God further than everyone else who don't believe in Zeus or Thor or any of those other gods.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, listen, the book is fascinating. It was a really good read, man.
Thank you.
And it's friendlyatheist.com and secularstudents.org. That's your
Thank
organization.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the organization
if
I work with.
If you guys are interested in reading about it or just looking into it, Hemant Mehta, it's Mehta, if you're looking online. And it's friendlyatheist.com, secularstudents.org. And I got to say, it was a great read, and I'm not an atheist.
Thanks a lot, Nick.
And it really was an interesting read.
That's probably the best compliment I could get. A lot of people email me saying they are Christian, but they found a lot of really great things in the book, and that means so much.
Really, it's a terrific read, and I wish you all the best of luck.
Thank you very
much. It's been great having you on. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.